Daddy, my question centers on tradition, family issues, and faith. First of all, I want to start by saying this. There's this stream in my village where virtually everyone drinks from. It is called Noche, which means old woman. And I've asked my father, why is this stream called Noche? Don't you think it's idolatry that we are all practicing unknowingly? You know, he rebuked me. He said it has been the water their forefathers drank and nothing happened to them. And so, to continue to go down, that is where the source comes from.
So what's
and
your
now,
question?
As a Christian, you know, as a Christian, anytime I go down to village, it is still that same river, sorry, that same stream we go to. And I always have this...
Sister, did your mother tell you that that demon created that river?
No, sir.
Go and drink your water, y'all. Nothing will happen.
Thank you, sir. Then the second question, sir, is... There is this my uncle that connived with my father, you know, to do away with my mom from her matrimonial home. Now, it's like the whole thing is bouncing back against him on the children. And we and the children, we're all close, very, very close.
What is your question?
So my question is, as a Christian, with what is happening to them, because sometimes I pray for them, and sometimes I get scared getting closer. What if what they are suffering is the aspect of what their father did? Now, getting closer to them as a Christian, would that, you know, reverse back? Showing that pity, showing
as a Christian, if you get close to them, they should be getting close to deliverance.
Coming near an
unbeliever is for the benefit of the believer and the unbeliever. I'm already saved. My life is hidden with Christ in God. And I am untouchable. I am under the blood. So, nothing can touch me. I should go. That was why Abraham went to deliver Lot. When they came to pack them away, he was under a covenant. And he went with that strength and delivered his cousin. So you should go in that same strength and deliver members of your family.
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, the last question. Then this question now, as a Christian, you are living, trying to live a virtuous life. And you know the enemy is coming to you. And they are telling you physically that we will deal with you and you can't do anything. And as a Christian, you keep enduring. And it has gotten to a point that you are saying, no, I don't think I'll take this anymore. Now, as the Bible says, we should follow peace with all men. What do you want to do in that aspect?
They are threatening you. Is that what you are saying?
Yes, sir.
They keep threatening you.
Yes, sir.
They threaten you.
Yes.
I'll deal with you.
And I'm running out of patience.
They are dealing with you. I will deal with you. I will deal with you. If they can deal with you, they won't say, I will deal with you. It is because they have tried, they are not able to. That's why they are saying, I will deal with you. I will deal with you. And the Bible says, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. You don't know who you are. So there's no impatience. Okay, what do you want to do? You want to go and deal with them. Please, let's hear the next question.
Thank you, sir.
From Ireland, Nala. Shalom, Pastor. I would like to understand why Jesus cursed the fig tree if it was not the right season for it to bear figs. Is the fig tree used symbolically to represent the spiritual condition of Israel or of fruitful Christians? Nala from Ireland. It is both. Let's read the story. It's in Mark chapter 11. Let's read the story from Mark chapter 11 and verse 11. And Joseph entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to eat, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now your question is, why will he curse it when it was not yet time for figs? Take note. The verse 13 says, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves. That simply means it was deception. The leaves there attracted him to come. The way the leaves appeared, it means it was supposed to produce figs. Why were there not figs and you were having this type of leaves that attracted him? For him to have gone there, he lived in the area, he knew when a tree is supposed to have figs. The identity is from the leaves. And that's why he went there and discovered that this leaf was deceptive. This is, something is wrong with this tree. And yes, it is there symbolically, speaking of Israel, that received the curse. Because they had to receive it because they were religious, but they there was no life in them. But the leaves speaks of religion. The leaves speaks of worship. But why will you worship God without fruit following? God doesn't only eat leaves. God eats fruits. And so it's also symbolic of Christians who put on a show of religious appearance, but no fruit to show that truly you are serving God. And such a person will be cursed. God will be angry with you. That is what we learn from that Nala. Thank you, Nala. Who is asking the question? Yes? Anosike Daphine from Belgium. Actually, I don't know if it's irrelevant or it's the right time. I'm asking what is the right marriage? Is it after the traditional wedding that a man and a woman begin staying together, or after white wedding? Because many of my sisters here in Europe say when they do traditional wedding, it's already settled in heaven. And they put white wedding after. Maybe two kids. I really want to know if it's right to put God second in marriage, because many things have changed here in Europe. More grace, Sir Pastor Alu. It's not only in Europe, in Nigeria too. When they sit down under wrong teachings, that will be the product of their understanding. We are Christians. Listen, church, we are in this world, but not of this world. We as Christians, we have our Christian traditions. That when you meet a woman legally speaking, she becomes your wife when you have paid the dowry. If you have not paid the dowry, she's not yet legally your wife. Once you have paid the dowry, it's expected that you will come before the priest. For our own Christian tradition now, you have given to Caesar what is Caesar's, and the family have released the girl to you, is to go before the pastor, who then comes and pronounces you. It can be anywhere. It can be at the altar. anywhere and causes you to exchange your marital vows. For that is the vow that God will use to judge that relationship. To live together for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, until death do us part. You must exchange that vow in the name of the Lord. It is that vow that God is watching to make sure you follow it. Then he pronounces you husband and wife in the name of the Lord Jesus. Please, not in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Call the name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That marriage is stamped from heaven. Then he can confidently make that pronouncement. What God has joined together. When did he join it? Through your vow and through the pronouncement of the man. Let no man, the pronouncement of the pastor, let no man put asunder. That is the correct teaching. Any other thing after that is wrong. That you go and pay dowry and you decide to come and start living together. What you are actually saying is you don't need God in that relationship. That's exactly what you are saying. And no Christian should do that. And for somebody to say, yeah, we have finished traditional marriage, we are now planning for the white. So, but before then now, let us, after all, husband and wife, then whenever it is, you know, misplacing, you know, the procedure, and it's wrong. Very, very wrong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want you to take special note of this confusion that is in Christianity. A lot of people have found themselves in that condition and they come to us. That is restitution, to make things right. And when they come, we now bless the marriage. Because we know such things happen. That is the reason why we always organize annually in this church marriage rededication. So that those who didn't have the opportunity, we can rededicate the marriage and God accepts it. And the reason also why they wait so much is because they have to plan and save money and save money and save. There is no law that you must wear one white gown designed in China or Japan or America. And then you must do certain things and all those things. You know, it's part of the vanities. You can't. There is nothing that commands you must do that. The important aspect is come before the Lord and you can come anyhow. Kata your buba and rapa and come. Wear your skirt and come. And it must not be under some large. We do that every time here. Pastor Thomas is in charge of marriage. We wait them in the office. Ministers will gather, they exchange their vows. We bless the wedding ring. Where it will come out, we snap photo. Sometimes they give us coke, we drink. But whether you give us or not, carry your wife and go. Praise God. That's why they waste so much time. So that is the order. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. I am Jacob from Ghana. This question... Many people ask me this question. Where I removed from the missionary churches to come and join this, the truth light church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The woman has asked me this question, that if we remove the woman earring, so if somebody is wear earring and worship God, can go to heaven, or if he die, he can go to hell. They are asking me this question all several times. So I want our father to explain.
If a woman wear earring,
if he die.
No, that is not what you should ask. You should ask, is there any commandment against a woman wearing earring? We are here to obey God's commandments. It's not whether, if I wear, will I go to hell? We are not serving God because we want to dodge hell. We are serving God because it is the whole duty of man. The conclusion of the matter is to fear God and do what? And keep His commandments. And the Bible is against putting any mark on your skin. You don't put tattoo on your skin. And when God created a woman, He didn't put a hole in the ear. And that ear, boring of hole in the ear, is a mark on the skin that God has forbidden His children. That is why Christian women, when they catch this revelation, they remove their earrings. God bless you.
Thank you, Father.
Shalom, sir. From South Africa, Kedibone. Sister Kedibone. Shalom, sir. I just started wearing skirts and dress 2 months ago. No earrings, no makeups. Praise God. Now, I just got a job in a construction company as a site engineer last month. And as we got to site, someone said I must wear trousers or jeans to site. Please, sir, advise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just face unnecessary temptations. Are they interested in doing the job or in what you wear? Is the interest in doing the job or in what you are wearing? That's to tell you that your faith is offending somebody. So what you have to do is to tell the person, whoever is there, that this is your faith. Your faith does not permit you to wear trousers. And if it must be jeans, then there is jeans skirt. Make sure you wear a long one. Since they say you should wear jeans. Oh yeah, wear jeans. Now they skirt jeans. And go to site. Explain to them your faith. Use the opportunity to preach to them. This is how I serve my God. A young girl in this church went for an interview. And the human resource manager who was interviewing her said, "Come, what's this? Why not wearing a ring? Why not making makeup?" He said, "You tell me now you're a Christian. I'm a Christian too." And she said, "Madam, this is how I want to live. Why is it offending you? What has that got to do with the job I'm coming for?" Instead of, "You want to say you are holy, holy," I said, I came for an interview. You are looking at what has my parents got to do with the job I'm looking for?" Her presence there condemned that woman. Nothing more. You see? And yet, another sister went to somewhere and immediately he entered and said, "You must be a Christian." He said, "Yes, you are the one I'm looking for." Yes. That you can declare your stand publicly like that. You see? A young man, a denominational man, a medical doctor, saw a young girl. I spoke with him a few days ago. Who is a believer of this message? And now they are in courtship. And then I had to ask him, "How did you meet this girl? What attracted you to her?" He said, "He has been a Christian all his life. His father is a pastor. But there was something he saw about her that she was bold to declare her faith. And he saw that not just her appearance, but there was a character that followed it. And he observed her and said, this must be genuine." He says he has met so many others who don't put on that, but the character will not be there. So, if you go anywhere you are rejected, there is another place that will accept you. So don't compromise your faith for any reason. God bless you. That's my advice for you. Yes.
Shalom, church. My question is it all tongues that are genuine?
All?
Speaking in tongues, are all genuine?
Not all are genuine. There are tongues of devils. And there are angelic tongues. Do you speak in tongues?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. So you want to know whether it is genuine or not? Yes, not all tongues are genuine. Any other question?
No, sir.
Question from Brother Philip from Abuja. Dear Brother Moses, I have heard you mention there are no apostles on ground. What becomes of the fivefold ministry that is supposed to perfect the bride? Secondly, you mentioned an attack on ministers following the enter message on your TV station, e.g. Brother Amos and others. Did you ever find time to discuss with them in person? Thank you. The last question first. Brother Amos, I was a member of that church before. So, and when he wrote a book that Raymond Jackson was going to be alive to take us in the rapture, I read the book, and shortly after the man died, I went to look for him. I had an appointment with him, and I told him, in the light of the happening now, Raymond Jackson is dead. What do you say about this book you have written? So I have met him, and I've met some of his followers. I don't know who else you mentioned. You say I mentioned him. That's the one you mentioned. So any other one you know, I call the name, you let me know. And why? Well, your question is whether I have met them. I don't remember who else I've called the name here, but that is Amos. I have called Amos, and I have called Enoch Onyebuaha. And these are people we've spoken to several times, face to face, on phone and otherwise. And more importantly, I have read what they stand for. So if you have written it, then you should expect reaction. So I have read it, some of the claims he makes, and I've found those claims to be lies, and I have a duty as a preacher to preach the correct thing, what I believe. And then concerning the fivefold ministry that will perfect the bride, and please, that language of perfecting the bride is coined by you. It is for the perfecting of the saints. That is what the Bible says. And I know what you mean when you say perfection of the bride. That is Amos Omoborewo's language. And please listen, Brother Philip from Kaduna. From Abuja. If you know your Bible, then you will discover that every ministry has a function, has something to supply. And the apostolic ministry is the foundation laying ministry. And other ministries are to build upon for the perfection of the saints. And since there is no other foundation to be laid, there cannot be any apostolic office now. The apostolic office is the Bible. It's the New Testament Bible. And it is still living now. And it is upon that we build. Now we can only have teachers. Now we can only have pastors, evangelists, and prophets. While we hold the Bible as the apostolic ministry. Anybody that says it's a prophet, an apostle, then you have to tell us which other foundation you are laying. And since there is no other foundation we are laying, there is no apostolic minister to come now and say you apostle anything. Thank you, Brother Philip. Can we clap our hands for Jesus?